and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. I've got the going back to work blues.
Oh, the post-holiday back to work blues.
I've had a nice time away on a great relaxing holiday. Lots of just walking by the sea, bit of fishing, just lots of chilling out, watching the boats go by. Very lovely holiday. Didn't start off relaxing, by the way.
Oh, it didn't?
No. The journey to the port to get the little ferry to the Isle of Wight, I think the sat-nav said about an hour and a half to get there. It took 3 hours. We missed the ferry.
Oh, no.
Bloody M25, Junction 10. Anyone who knows what I'm talking about is now shoving their head into a brick wall. It took us about, I'd say, an hour to go about half a mile. I kind of felt like we were in an episode. You won't remember this, Ben. But there used to be a programme on called Treasure Hunt.
No, I don't remember that now. I'm a bit too... what year was this? The 40s?
It was probably kind of mid-80s to late 80s. I think it was probably still going in the 90s, but you were probably only two when it stopped. But it was Annika Rice to start with, latterly Annabelle Croft, the former tennis player. And she had 45 minutes to travel via helicopter to several locations where there'd be a clue that would lead her to the final location where there was treasure. And it was always a close run thing at the end. You know, she had to run like the wind to get there with seconds to go. And it felt like that. We were running against the clock. And it was all those things where I then discovered the clock in the car was 5 minutes fast. You think we've actually got five extra minutes than we thought. And then we took a wrong turn in Portsmouth. And that scuppered us. And it was that feeling of defeat. Just when you knew you were minutes away and you might just make the ferry, they might just allow you on, and then we took a wrong fucking turn, and it was an awful feeling. We've missed the ferry. And it's not the end of the world with the Isle of Wight ferry. It's that they'll just stick you on the next one. It's not the biggest problem in the world, but it's still stressful. Man, it took me about 2 days, I think, to come down after that. I don't know whether my family and friends realised, but I was a heightened mess for about 48 hours after that. Because I was like, we've got to get there! We've got to get there! Oh, God! Oh, come on! Oh, it's too late!
I don't want to rub salt into this clearly a very open wound, but I'm afraid I find this unacceptable.
Why do you find it unacceptable?
With today's technology, with smartphones, which not only tell you how to get there, tell you what turns to take, tell you where the heavy traffic is, tell you where the delays are, you've got no excuse for running into slow traffic. You've got no excuse for taking the wrong turn. What were you doing? Was there someone in the front seat with a big map, like unfolding it and looking into the creases or something? How did you manage in 2024 to get lost?
Because you are caught up in this world of technology, Ben.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm caught up in this problem. I thought somehow it's going to be my fault.
Well, no, you are part of the problem because you laud technology. Technology's there. When you realise, Ben, we come to you eventually, that technology is shit. You know, we're told how brilliant it is and we've all fallen for it. A lot of my friends go, you must buy this gadget. It's brilliant. You get it. It's shit. The sat-nav told us this was the quickest route. The sat-nav told us to go on the fucking M25 because it was quicker than the other way. It lied to us. It was a lying piece of tech, Ben. It sat there waiting. Oh, you think you're going on holiday for a relaxing time, do you? Oh, fuck that. We're going to make this a living hell to start with.
Now, is this a sat-nav which tells you the live traffic updates, looks into the future, looks at congestion, and lets you know, oh, actually, new route suggested because this way is a bit shit? I bet you, I'm willing to put money on the fact, a tenner, I'll put a tenner on it right now, you have an ancient sat-nav with no live updates, not connected to any internet, nothing. You've got some TomTom from about 30 years ago stuck to your windscreen, which you are relying on.
Well, the truth is it no longer sticks the windscreen. The sucker broke off a long time ago. I have to hold the fucking thing. But though the original sat-nav that was used to check the route, that was a live thing, and that should have told us, shouldn't it? That should have said he's going to spend hours on the M25. It's technology, it's shit, Ben. It lies. It makes your life a misery. I don't believe in technology anymore. I'd like to go back to the Luddite era, please. And talking of bloody technology, my computer keeps pinging away at me in my ears. Can you hear that noise?
I didn't hear a noise, no.
Oh, will you just shut up? Keeps pinging at me. Fuck off. Snooze. Fuck off. Leave me alone. See, technology again. Fucking nagging me. Update this. You've not touched a computer for a week. Update it.
Nice to know you're home and relaxed. That's all good.
Oh, man, I'm going to keep that being now because that proves my point of how fucking irritating technology is. I was going to stop recording. It's still pinging at me. It's Windows update. Restart. Fuck off. It won't shut up. It won't stop now, Ben. All I'm getting is pinging in my ear. Oh, I'm stressed out now.
I can tell.
Hell. Computers, Ben. Anyway, what was I saying? It's going again. Oh, now I've lost connection. Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you.
Fucking hell.
Is this still a sort of extra outtake that you want to include? I can hear you.
Fuck knows what's going on.
You do sound a little more off mic than you were to begin with.
I am off mic now.
Oh, there you go.
Fucking computer.
Please keep all of this in.
Anyway, what was I talking about?
I've lost track. This must be one of the most chaotic podcasts we've ever done.
I think I was just moaning about the sat-nav. Anyway, it was stressful. We got there in the end. I'll tell you another thing that happened on holiday, though. A man walks up to me and hands me a bit of paper. I thought I'd share with you what he gave me because I feel it does say that I should share this information with anyone that I feel would be interested in it.
And you and thought, I know the man. I know who to share this with.
If anyone's going to be interested in this, it's Ben and our mighty followers would
yes.
be interested in this. It starts off with, life on this planet is getting more and more difficult.
I agree. So far, so good. Yes, it is.
Yes, yeah.
With every passing second at the moment.
Try using a fucking sat-nav.
And try using a fucking podcast, mate. It's fucking impossible.
And theory suggests that a likely possibility is that the world's politicians may presently be faced with problems of a size and kind that they aren't able to solve in an acceptable manner. I'm not sure any politician has solved anything in an acceptable manner since about 1945. I mean, we've got a new government in, right? And already, what are they, I don't know how many days in, they're already taking freebies. I mean, what is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? Because they ever think that's not a good thing to do, even though it's within the rules. Just don't fucking take it, you morons.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't want to get into it, really, but I saw something saying that Keir Starmer is taking something in the region of £100,000 worth of freebies.
But
that doesn't seem like
glasses.
Something. No.
I mean, no one pays for my clothes.
No, it doesn't sound like something our Prime Minister should be doing. But anyway, I'm not going to get into it. But yeah, it's not. They're not off to a very good start.
So my faith in politicians isn't particularly strong anyway. So the idea of them solving anything in an acceptable manner is unlikely. Anyway, it then goes on. If this happens, there will be a very considerable upheaval, and some nations may not be able to continue as they are at present.
Have you joined a militia?
The question that arises for the individual is how to prepare for this situation as best possible. So it's a warning that we are on the verge of societal collapse,
yeah,
and that we must all prepare for that eventuality, because when it comes to it, the politicians ain't going to help us.
Okay, fine. So be self-preservation, you know, prepare. So, like, is this, what, is this doomsday prepping, or?
I kind of feel this is where we're going. Oh, I'll read on. As neither the time and place of its occurrence nor its precise nature can be known in advance, it's not possible for anyone to make any detailed personal plans to deal with them. But it would be wise for all of us to get ourselves into situations that are as flexible as possible, particularly financially.
Ah, oh, money's been introduced. Okay.
Here we go.
I was going to say it sounds a little tinfoil hat, but I do like at least that they're not saying the world's going to end on this particular date. They are at least admitting that it could happen at any moment.
At any moment.
Now you've introduced the word financial and money has been involved. So, yeah. How much do they want?
No, they don't want any money. They're just telling
really?
Us to be. They're just telling us to be financially ready for any. The thing is, I don't know how much money is going to really help us in the age of a societal collapse. I don't think money's going to make any. I suppose if you've got a lot of money, that's going to help you, maybe, because the rich people always come out on top in these situations. But most of us, the normal, everyday folk, we're not going to have enough money, even if we prepare, to make any difference in the case of an apocalypse.
No, I mean, but if society truly crashed, then wouldn't money be worthless anyway?
It'd be worthless. There's no point, is there? You're better off collecting all the normal things you would need in this sort of an emergency. Lots of tinned food, tinned fish, tinned beans. Get as much tins in as possible is my advice. Don't worry about the money, so, because those tinned goods will become currency.
Well, I disagree. I have what I consider better advice, but it isn't advice I endorse.
Right, so you're going to give me advice that you don't believe in?
Morally, no.
Okay.
I'll let you and your neighbours and your street and your friends and family collect all the tinned foods, all the goods. You can all ferret that away into the store cupboards in your pantries. Yeah. All I need is two things. Mm-hmm. A gun and ammunition. And then I'll come round to where you live and believe me, I'll be eating.
I mean, it's such a lazy attitude, that, isn't it? Still lazy and aggressive. How do you know that I haven't got a gun?
Because you've been busy spending all your coppers on cans of beans.
Yeah, but what if I have got a gun? You pop round, you've not prepared anything apart from a gun. You come and go, oh, I'm just going to nick all Trev's tin food. I've got a gun. The moment you knock on the door, bang, you're gone. Actually, I wouldn't go as far as to wipe you off the face of the earth.
Oh, just thank
you. Just a couple of leg shots, just take you out of action.
just kneecap me.
Yeah, it'd be like the film Misery. I'd have you shackled to a bed, and every time you start to recover, I'd nobble you. Get a bit of wood and a hammer. Just smack your legs to smithereens again. You're never going anywhere. And I'll be spoon-feeding you bits of tin food, but it'll be rancid. It'll be all the bits left at the bottom of the Tudor tin that I couldn't be asked to scrape out.
Oh, God.
It's had all the flies all over it. No, you'll be all having right. that. And then you'll be thinking, why didn't I buy my own tin food? I mean, your idea has got you into a lot of trouble here.
Well, I'm still going to go with my plan, but I will put you at the bottom of the list of people I approach to execute the plan.
Back to the paperwork.
Yes.
So you've got to be as flexible as possible, particularly financially. And in this connection, try to be as independent of the state as possible, because that entity may not in all cases continue to exist. So what it's saying is, you know, governments will collapse and there'll be no effective leadership in a country. There'll be nothing to make any decisions for the good of the people.
Right.
I think there'll always be some power hungry, because the worst case scenario is that all this happens, you know, all of this falls apart, and it would be the likes of your Donald Trumps, your Boris Johnsons, who would just seize the opportunity to say, well, here's my chance to retake power. But then they'd just be so selfish about the whole thing, they wouldn't be making any decisions to help the people, would they?
You're right, but I'm failing to see the point in distributing this leaflet. Is it do they want something eventually, or is it just we feel like
warning.
This. It is just a warning, is it?
It's a warning. I'll read you the rest of it. Since it doesn't appear possible to prevent a happening such as just described from coming about, see, it's not possible to stop it. Whatever is coming, it's not given us any idea of what it is, when it is, but it is coming. So, I mean, I don't like the vagueness of it, but I suppose he can't tell us what it is, because is he saying it's a man-made thing? Is it a natural disaster? Is it some intergalactic cosmic event that's going to sweep across the planet and render us all useless? I mean, well, but he can't tell us, I suppose. He's just telling us to be aware that something is happening and it is going to come about. He says, this paper is given to you so you may take such precautions concerning them.
But that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous advice, because I need to know what the event is going to be.
But he can't
because
told
I'll
you.
Prepare for them very differently. No.
He told you. He can't tell you what it is.
But that's not helpful. I mean, if it was a zombie apocalypse, I would prepare for that differently than just the government's collapsed. I would prepare for it very differently.
Well, you've got to be prepared for all eventualities, Ben. This is what he's saying. He's basically saying, get yourself prepared for all eventualities. He can't tell us what it is or when it's going to happen, but something could happen and you've got to be prepared. So you've got to be prepared for a zombie apocalypse. You've also got to be prepared for complete global political collapse.
Right. So this leaflet just says, shit's going to hit the fan, prepare for everything.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yes. Anyway, he goes on to say, it's so you can take such precautions concerning these events that you think are wise. And since the more people who know about the matter, he's calling it the matter.
Oh, it's got a name now. It's got a name.
The matter. The better. You are welcome. If you wish to make copies of this to pass on to others, please feel free to do so.
Well, in your own way, Trev, you have. You've now broadcast it to multiple people.
Well, that's multiple, but that's right, the ones of people that listen to this have now heard this, and that's why I felt I had to share it with you, Ben, because when I read this bit of paper, I thought, you know, I was willing to just throw it away. I was thinking, oh, this is just some tin foil hat conspiracy theorist who's wandering the streets of Sandown on the Isle of Wight handing this out. And I thought, no, this is a message that needs to be... He feels it's important. I should take this on board.
And this is why I will not be visiting the Isle of Wight again anytime soon. Trev, I found a new game that I think you should play.
Okay.
It's a strange game. And I'm not going to tell you the rules.
Well, all games must have rules. You can't go into this completely unaware of any of the rules, surely.
Okay, I'll give you some information. There's going to be a lot of questions.
Okay. Sounds like a police interview.
You will soon realise the theme of what is going on here. You'll soon recognise a pattern. Okay. You can lose. I've seen people play this and lose, so it is possible. I don't make the decision if you've lost, the game does. It seems arbitrary, but I want to play it anyway.
This sounds like the sort of thing that a man who takes power in the event of an apocalypse would bring on as his way of governing people. You have to play the game.
The only other bit of advice I could give you with this game is if you feel yourself getting stuck, out of the box thinking, which is an expression I don't like, but I've used it now, can help you, but out of the box thinking can also make things worse.
Oh, but that doesn't help at all. Useless bit of information.
Okay.
Can I try some blue sky thinking?
Right. Are you ready?
Go on.
Okay, Trev, let's play. What beats rock?
What beats rock?
Interpret that any way you want.
I mean, I could go down the route of saying paper in the traditional game, rock, paper, scissors. Paper beats rock. Right, I could say that.
You could.
Or I could think outside the box. I could do a little bit of outside the box thinking. And I would say the power of the sea beats rock. As it smashes against the cliffs, it will erode them quickly or slowly, dependent on the type of rock that it is encountering. So I'm going to say the power of the sea beats rock.
Okay, I'm going to put in the sea.
Okay.
And the game has decided that is a great answer.
Great answer. Let's underline the word great.
So you've scored a point. You are off and running. That is a correct answer. So the next question, Trev, is what beats the sea?
What beats the sea? Is this the game just what beats what? Is this the whole fucking premise of it?
I mean, but 100% for pattern recognition, you've nailed
it. Not that early.
And you put yourself in quite the corner here on question two.
Well, I would say man has beaten the sea in terms of man's ability to cross the sea from its very humble beginnings. Man couldn't have foreseen creating boats. They did create boats, submarines, all kinds of, you know, marine vehicular, and that has enabled us to beat the sea.
So you're saying man?
Man is beating the sea.
Okay, the game agrees with you. Man has been sailing and dominating the sea for centuries. It's a historical fact. So your next question is, what beats man?
Well, computers. I mean, obviously computers beat man because they are the evil that has been invented. No, do you know what I would say beats man? Things I don't want to answer this because I'm going to end up stuck in a fucking loop. I was going to say man beats man because we always beat ourselves because we're so fucking useless. And then, but then I'll just have the same question again.
Yes, you're learning fast.
What beats man? I'm going to say nature. Nature can beat man. Nature has a way of volcanoes, hurricanes, floods. You know, nature can beat man.
Okay, I'll input that answer for you. The game agrees. Nature is more powerful than man. Just ask a hurricane or an earthquake. 65 other people, by the way, guessed the same answer.
Right.
Popular. So well done. So next question. You've scored 3 points so far. Well done. Yeah. What beats nature?
What beats nature?
And you did this to yourself.
What beats nature? Wow, there's a question.
Now, this is when maybe a bit out of the box thinking might help. But the more creatively brilliant you become, think of what the next question is going to be.
Well, that's what's worrying me. What beats nature?
I mean, I have an idea. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'd prefer you to play the game. But I would just think of, maybe what happens that might destroy nature.
Yeah. Well, again, that leads you back to man, though. Man destroys.
Not necessarily.
Nature.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm just trying to nudge you. I don't want you to submit this as your answer. I'm just trying to say possibly wildfires might destroy some elements of nature. That's just trying to nudge you. I'm not trying to tell you what I know.
Wildfires are part of nature, aren't they? So, I mean, it's...
Well, that's a very meta argument, yes?
Yes. So, you know, if it's a wildfire, that is part of the natural cycle of events that occur
within
nature.
But it isn't whether or not
nature.
I agree with that. It's whether the game agrees with that.
Whether the game. I don't like the game, like it's some higher power. All right. Well, if you have to, if you might have to think like that. You might have to think a little bit meta in this case. And, I mean, maybe you could say, it's still nature though, isn't it? Because you could say something like a drought beats some nature. You know, a drought will kill animals, it will kill plants. Plants can't survive without the rain. So maybe a drought would be something that would beat nature. But a drought is part of nature, so it's a very meta argument, isn't it?
Is that what you want to go with? You could fall foul of the game. Like I say, I don't make the decision, the game does.
You see, I don't think a drought is a good enough answer. I don't think a drought beats nature because it would just say that is nature, a drought.
I'm actually quite pleased about that because I wasn't confident on how to correctly spell drought. I think it's D-R-O-U-G-H-T, but I'm not entirely sure.
So, I mean, you could say God beats nature.
Trev, the next question.
If you believe in God. I'm going to
insist on an answer. What beats nature?
I'm going to say God.
Oh my God! Here we go. Correct. If you believe in the divine, God created nature, so it's like the ultimate trump card. So now, Trev, being in mind that is the ultimate trump card, what beats God?
Atheism.
Ooh.
Beats God.
I'm happy to input that as your answer. However. My issue with that would, again, getting quite meta. If God does exist, then the people who say I don't believe in it would lose to that God.
If God exists.
Yes, exactly. I'm only here to just fill dead air. That's all I'm here to do. If you're the player here, my friend. I'm just sort of chipping in. You want to go with atheism?
Yeah, because I think the word "if" in that sentence. Proves that there's no absolute to the argument. So atheism would beat it.
Atheism beats God.
Yeah.
Atheism does not beat God. You have lost the game.
Oh.
God has been around for millennia. Atheism is still trying to get its foot in the door. Divine intervention wins this round. You have failed the game. Your score was 4.
Does it give you an answer?
No, it doesn't.
So it doesn't suggest anything that would beat God?
No, it does not. You have lost the game. We can play again if you would like. If you'd like
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no, let's do another round. Come on.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Trev.
I've got a feeling this is like a this is going to be like a game of darts between two terrible players that always ends on double one, and I'm going to end up with God every time.
I tried to warn you against it, but you went there. So, Trev, I'm going to ask you again. What beats rock?
Or we start from that again. All right. Well, I could go for a different answer on this occasion and go down the simple game route and say paper beats rock.
Okay. Obviously correct. Yes, that does. So, Trev, what beats paper?
What beats paper? Water would beat paper. It would make it very manky and mushy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, water. I mean, yeah, it ruins paper.
Yeah. But I could say something like a rip or a tear.
Which one would you like me to go with?
Either, really. Can you not put both in, a rip or a tear, or do you have to put one word?
You could. I suppose I could try and put both words in, but you're at risk of losing again. Rip or tear. Rip or tear beats paper. So, very well done. So, your next question is, what beats rip or tear?
Well, you could obviously... you could sew something up, couldn't you? Anything that's ripped or torn could be sewn up. So you could say needle and thread could beat a tear or a rip.
So do you want me to put in sewing or needle and thread?
Needle and thread.
Okay. Needle and thread beats rip or tear.
There you go.
You can sew up a rip or a tear with a needle and thread. That's what they're there for, folks, says the game.
Quite right. Quite right.
So your next question, Trev.
Yeah.
What beats needle and thread? Once again, you've done this to yourself. You know how the game works.
What beats a needle and thread? What else would beat a needle and thread? I mean, obviously something that you, a needle and thread couldn't repair, like a rip through time, something like that.
Trev.
But then the moment I get into that, I'm getting to God very quickly again, aren't I? The moment I get into any great sort of... cosmic debate.
I wonder if anything beats the question, what beats God?
Well, I would say it's a very biased game if it just thinks God is the ultimate trump card.
Because I know.
You're assuming that God exists, and I think a game should never have that assumption, that absolute assumption.
I mean, maybe there's some clever answer you could give it, but that would take some real clever thinking, and I have no idea what the next question would be after that.
I mean, I think that's why I was so disappointed to lose the first round, because I think it's a very unfair... I think it gave a very unfair judgment, in my opinion.
Well, your previous best score is 4. You've scored 3 so far, and the question remains, what beats needle and thread?
I mean, I could just say God, get it over and done with it. What's that thing about it's easier to... put a camel through the eye of a needle.
A camel. You want to say a camel beats a needle and thread?
Yeah, say a camel beats...
Are you sure?
No, don't put camel in.
I had almost typed it out then. I thought that was a really funny answer.
I mean, as it's so fucking biased to the God thing, it would probably go, yes, that's right. The biblical quote does suggest that the camel could beat the eye of a needle. Not a rich
I don't know.
Man,
I don't know what the game will make of that answer.
No.
It might determine you're wrong. It might determine you're right. I don't know.
I mean, you could say something like a hammer and an anvil would beat. If you were to put a needle on an anvil and hammer it, there wouldn't be much left of the needle. It would be, you know, completely out of shape. Wouldn't be any use for sewing beyond that point. Or heat. What about heat? Heat would bend the needle, even melt it if you got it hot enough.
We've been dwelling on this one for a while. I'm going to need an answer.
All right. It's camel or heat. What are we going to go for?
It's your choice. You are the player. I am the inputter.
I'm going to go for camel. Fuck it.
Really?
Put camel in. Yes.
Okay. Camel beats needle and thread.
A camel can
easily step over a needle and thread, no problem. I'm not sure why that was why it decided it could beat it.
Well, because it could step over it. So, it's got nothing to do with it being going through the eye of the needle. It could step over it.
So that might give you an idea of maybe how the game thinks things work. Because thinks if you could step over it, you beat it. Yeah, I don't know. So good news, you've matched your previous score of 4.
Right.
The question now becomes, Trev, what beats Camel?
What beats Camel? I mean, obviously, they can withstand a lot of heat. They can go a long time
without water. Heat?
Well, because I find heat one of the most debilitating aspects of human life. It beats me.
If it comes down to what beats Trev, it's going to be heat.
Heat, yeah. You wouldn't get as far as God. Heat's beating him. That's the end. I think that's how I'll end my days, just shriveled up in the heat. And that heat will be about 20 degrees, because as I get older, I can stand less heat. And I'll get to about 20 degrees, and you'll find me with an old prude in the corner of the garden.
Taking a dark turn.
Right, what can beat a camel? Well, I mean, you could say another animal that could take down a camel. I don't know whether a camel has a natural predator. Does it, really?
I don't think that matters.
No, I suppose it doesn't really. I mean, you could say, like, would a lion...
I don't think a camel has ever had to face a needle and thread before either, but here we are.
Well, all right, let's put in a lion.
Well, you know what the next question's going to be.
Yeah, I know. Let's go for it.
A lion would turn a camel into a midday snack. Correct answer. Lion beats camel. So, Trev, what beats a lion?
What beats a lion? I don't think a lion would be able to open a bag of crisps. Actually, it probably could have been his teeth, couldn't it?
I mean, yes, I imagine with ease.
I was thinking, it would struggle to with its paws in the traditional manner that a bag of crisps opened.
I bet you no one's ever suggested that a bag of crisps could beat a lion before.
I tell you what would beat it, though, with the fucking plastic containers that got cold meat in that never fucking open, even though they've got a little flap on the side. That's just a lion ain't getting into that.
Maybe that's what beats God, vacuum packaging.
I tell you what would beat a lion, a mathematical equation. A lion ain't getting a mathematical equation. If I was to sit down with a lion and say, if x equals 7...
That's fine. I'm happy to put it in.
Yeah, put a mathematical equation in.
Good news, you've already won. You've got 5 points. You've beaten your previous best. It's still not a very good score. So we're going to say a mathematical equation beats a lion.
Yes.
Okay, the game is thinking, and it has determined...
Yeah.
A mathematical equation beats a lion.
Of course it does.
And it also clarifies a lion can't solve for X, but a mathematical equation can solve for a lion's dinner time. I don't know what the fuck that means.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. But well done. You've got another point on the board. And apparently a mathematical equation does beat a lion. So the next question, Trev, is what beats a mathematical equation?
What, a mathematician, clearly.
Well, that's a lovely answer. Are we sticking with that straight away?
Yeah, straight away.
You know, obvious question, obvious answer. Correct. The game agrees. So, Trev, what beats a mathematician?
Well, obviously, they're only good at maths, so there's going to be lots of other areas in life that they're not particularly strong at. Flight.
What?
Flight. A mathematician can't fly without other things going on, without a machine.
That is a very strange answer. I'm not sure if the game's going to allow that, but if that's what you want me to put
flight.
In...
Yeah.
Can you qualify why that would beat a mathematician?
Well, because a mathematician can't fly. So because
flight's possible and a mathematician can't do it, that means it beats the mathematician.
Yes.
It's your go, mate. I've seen people hit the score of 50 in this game before losing.
But what sort of people? Fucking psychopaths, probably.
Right? Does flight beat a mathematician? Yes, it does.
Yes, see? I told you.
The game explains a mathematician can't fly, can they? Unless they're on a plane, but that's not the point. Okay. So, Trev, the question then becomes, what beats flight?
Gravity could beat flight, I suppose.
I would argue that flight is conquering gravity rather than the other way around. I forgot my role here. I'm just the moderator.
What beats flight?
I suppose crashing.
I'm going to stick with gravity.
Okay, I'll put it in. Yes, the game agrees. Gravity beats flight. Yes. Gravity keeps planes on the ground, but not in the air. Sorry, birds. What I'm more surprised about by this game is that it has a little pithy thing to say about all of your answers.
I know.
How could it have possibly known you were going to say that? So now you've put yourself in a bit of a corner here, mate. Mm. What beats gravity?
Well, could you say that Newton beat gravity because he discovered it? You know, he beat it by working it out. Would that be a victory over gravity?
It's not for me to decide. It's for the game to decide. You have to submit the answer that you think the game will accept.
I mean, I could just say space flight would have beaten gravity because it's got us out there. So I'm going to say space flight.
Can I say space travel or space...
Space travel. Space travel, yeah.
Yes, space travel defies gravity. It's the whole point of leaving Earth's atmosphere. Correct. Space travel beats gravity. Mm. You've scored 10 points so far. You're on quite the roll. Trev?
Yeah?
What beats space travel?
I'd say an explosion would beat space travel. You know, when a space shuttle explodes, it doesn't get there, does it? So, an explosion.
I'll happily put it in. I'm not sure how this is going to go for you. Correct. An explosion would definitely put a damper on any space travel plans. In fact,
just a damper on it.
Yeah. In fact, it says it would be a real blast killer. So you're now on 11 points. You're doing very well. But Trev, yes. I've got to ask. What beats an explosion?
What beats an explosion? I would say a controlled explosion beats an explosion.
Why would that beat it? It's the same thing.
Well, no, because the explosion is a huge catastrophic event where you don't know the blast will come out and cause havoc all around. A controlled explosion will control the damage of the explosion and therefore beat the explosion in terms of its damage.
So that's the answer you want to go with?
Yeah.
Okay, the game is thinking and... I don't understand, but yes, a controlled explosion beats an explosion.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of information if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
A controlled explosion is like an explosion, but, you know, controlled. It's like the difference It's like the difference between a wild party and a wine and cheese tasting.
There you are.
How bizarre. So, Trev, what beats a controlled explosion? Do you reckon this is fun to listen to?
No. What beats a controlled explosion? I'd say a volcano would beat a controlled explosion in terms of its ferocity.
Okay, I'll go with volcano.
Yeah.
Yes, volcano beats controlled explosion. So what beats a volcano, Trev?
An ice age would be a volcano.
Did volcanoes not exist in the Ice Age?
Well, surely they would be frozen up within an Ice Age and wouldn't
frozen
erupt.
Frozen up?
Well, you know, an Ice Age would bring such cold temperatures.
Not colder than the magma in the centre of the Earth, though.
Well, put it in and find out.
I've done it. Ice Age. Yes, apparently Ice Age beats volcano. Volcanoes may spew lava, but an Ice Age will freeze everything in its tracks. Chill out, volcano. Fine. I'm starting to doubt how this game works. Trev, what beats an ice age?
Oh, for God's sake.
You did this to yourself.
Global warming.
That's a good answer.
Would be an ice age.
Global warming beats ice age. You know what the next question is, Trev.
Yeah.
Go on. What beats global warming?
Greta Thunberg.
I'm going to put it in.
Put it in.
Now, I don't want to be... I think you're on a great score, mate. You got 15. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure this is going to be a winning answer, but it's funny. I'll happily put it in.
Put it in. Does Greta Thunberg
beat global warming? Fucking hell. Greta Thunberg beats global warming. Jesus. Greta Thunberg takes on global warming like a superhero takes on a villain. Climate change, meet your match.
Yeah.
Trev.
God.
What beats Greta Thunberg?
Well, I mean, you could say she's been beaten metaphorically by internet trolls. So, you know, put in that, internet trolls.
Okay, the game is thinking. Yes, Greta Thunberg gets roasted by internet trolls daily, but she still manages to stay on message. Sorry, trolls. Fine. Whatever. You've scored 17 points. Trev, what beats internet trolls?
Elon Musk.
correct. You win again. Elon Musk beats internet trolls because he has a team of lawyers to deal with his internet trolls. He's got this.
Yeah.
Your next question. What beats Elon Musk?
Space flight. what beats Elon Musk? Running a successful social media organization.
Awareness.
Well, I mean, I think you've got to think outside the box. You told me that in this game, and I'm going to say a hippo. Because if Elon Musk was to come up against a raging hippo, there's only one winner.
Yes, you are correct. A hippo beats Elon Musk. A hippo could easily trample Elon Musk. Don't at me, says the game. Yeah. Trev, what beats a hippo?
A game reserve poacher.
A poacher?
A poacher, yeah. Would beat a hippo.
Sadly, that is correct. A poacher beats a hippo. Trev, what beats a poacher?
What beats a poacher? I would say an electrified fence would beat a poacher. Did you say 50 was a record here? I'm on a run.
You're on 21, and that's another point, because an electric fence beats a poacher.
Yeah.
So what beats an electric fence, Trev?
A power cut. Get out of that one, the game.
It agrees. A power cut would beat an electric fence.
Yeah.
So what beats a power cut, Trev?
A candle.
A candle. You've managed to calm this down. Because it was getting... Well, I thought you were running into problems with hippo, and I thought it was going to escalate, but you've calmed it back down to candle. I respect that.
Yeah.
The game agrees. Candle beats power cut. So, yeah. Trev, what beats a candle?
Well... I mean, heat. I'm back to heat. Again.
As much as fire. We talked about heat, I don't think we've ever input it as an answer.
No, we'll put in heat then, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, heat's going to beat a candle because it's going to melt it.
Okay, yes, you are correct. Heat beats candle. Trev, what beats heat?
Well, it would be cold, but then I'm back to an ice age again if I go down that road. what beats heat? Asbestos. It's a heat resistance material. Asbestos beats heat.
Okay, I'll put it in. Correct. Asbestos beats heat. Asbestos laughs in the face of heat. It's like the fireproof superhero nobody wanted, says the game.
It's the most disgusting stuff.
Trev?
Yeah.
What beats asbestos?
Modern building regulations. I mean,
please let me put that in.
Yeah, put it in. Modern building
please.
Regulations. Go on, put it in, because it's true.
I'm doing it. That might be the greatest answer ever put into this game. Correct. The game agrees. Modern building regulations beats asbestos. Trev?
Yeah?
What beats modern building regulations?
Oh, I don't know. God.
This has to finish at some point.
What beats modern building regulations? Oh, I don't know. Probably apathy to the rules.
I'll put that in.
Yeah.
Amazingly, I don't understand how this game works. You are correct. Apathy to the rules beats modern building regulations.
Okay. What beats apathy to the rules?
What beats apathy to the... Yeah, you're a one step ahead of me here, mate, yeah.
Tyranny.
Tyranny.
Yes.
Yes, you are correct. Tyranny beats apathy to the rules. Oh, my word.
Okay.
So what beats tyranny?
Democracy.
You're on a score of 28 so far. I think you're going to get through with this one. I think this is a slam dunk, if you don't mind me saying.
I hope so, wouldn't you?
Yes, democracy beats tyranny. So, Trev, what beats democracy? By the way, 69 other people guessed the same answer to what beats tyranny.
See, I am on the same wavelength of some people on the planet. That's a help.
I'm hoping you come up with an original answer at some point that only you have guessed.
Wow. So what beats... What did I say? What are we on?
Democracy.
What beats democracy? I would say... I was going to say Nigel Farage. Donald Trump. Donald Trump beats democracy.
Okay, I'm happy to put it in. Oh! What? I'm afraid, my friend, you have lost. You have a top score, though, of 29. Donald Trump does not beat democracy. Democracy is the bedrock of a nation, and no single person can topple it. Nice try, though.
And, of course, democracy did beat him in 2020, didn't it? So I knew that was a bad... I took a bad turn there.
Well, you introduced Donald Trump, didn't you?
Yeah, and that's always a bad turn. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations for you. What you got for us this week, Ben?
Well, this week I have a little fun game for you to play at home with your friends and family. It's called whatbeatsrock.com. I think you can have some fun with it, I hope.
Yeah, we should try it sometime.
Yeah. I've also got something I haven't seen yet, and it comes out on the day this podcast is released, this 25th of September. And it's going to be a documentary on Netflix about Vince McMahon. And it's called Mr. McMahon. It'll be on Netflix today as you're listening to this. And it's... a look into the crazy life and career, rise and fall of Vince McMahon. And it's going to be very wrestling heavy, but I think this guy is such an interesting, eccentric, and there's many other bad words I could use, character, that even if you're not into wrestling, I think it will be a very interesting watch.
Is this the guy that's been sort of at the top of the wrestling tree for a long time, but has recently had to take a step back because of events around
him,
allegations against him, that sort of thing?
Right. Quite serious allegations, yes. However, wrestling fan or not, I think this will be a very good watch for anyone.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting. I've got a couple of things to recommend for you. The Adam Buxton podcast is back.
Oh, good.
After an extended break this year, as he's been busy doing lots of other things. He opens the new sort of run with Miriam Margolyes, who, let's face it, any podcast that she's on is worth listening to. I've just listened to it. It's fantastic, as you'd expect. It's a great listen. Just glad to have the Adam Buxton podcast back. So if you've decided you've had enough of this, turn over to that. And the other thing I'd recommend...
What beats Miriam Margolyes?
Nothing.
Absolutely right.
I reckon put her in, she'd beat God.
There we go, we found it in the end.
There's the answer.
National treasure.
The other thing I'm going to recommend is a film I watched last night. It's on Sky Cinema at the moment, called My Neighbour Adolf. It's a comedy. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a comedy, but it is. It's set in 1960s South America, when a Holocaust survivor suspects his neighbour is Adolf Hitler. He then investigates and reluctantly befriends the man to gather evidence. It's a very funny but yet moving film. I really, really enjoyed it. I'd heard about this film sort of doing the rounds when it was at the festivals. I think it came out in 2022. So it's been in the back of my mind to see it. And then it popped up on Sky Cinema, and it lived up to expectations. Very good film.
Excellent. I look forward to watching it.
Well, there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on X. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.